Awesome, Ted. Thank you, buddy. Y'all doing good tonight? Good to see you all back tonight. I thought maybe I scared you all away. It's funny, it's kind of like I got a big open space right here. I'll have to be going over here and then over here. And I guess you do that just to confuse me, don't you? Kind of make me run back and forth, sort of. I don't know what the... Okay, I'll manage. Right, Carl? We'll do it. All right. Yeah, I thought I scared you all away last week with the... got a little deep, and some of you were kind of like wading through there. But hey, you're back tonight for more? So we're going to dig in some more tonight. We're talking about I Love Your Ways, and of course we're talking about God's ways. This is part 16, so it's been 16 weeks since we started Saturday Night Services in November. And we're talking about particularly... In this particular kind of a semi-series under the series, how God makes us more valuable. His way is always to make us more valuable. Let's read together Isaiah 48:17. Together and aloud. You ready to read? Together and aloud? Ready? Here we go. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. And we've talked about the fact that to redeem means to restore value to something. And God, as our Redeemer, is the God who is committed to restoring value to us, the value that we lost through the fall, the value that we lost through sin. God is at work restoring that value back to us individually and to mankind. And it says that he's going to teach us how to profit, and he's going to lead us in the way that we should go. And that's real good news, I think. Don't you think so? And so in this particular part of our series, we're talking about how God is redeeming us, restoring value to us, by restoring back to us our spirit, which was fallen, our soul, which was fallen, and our body, which was fallen. Let's read together 1 Thessalonians 5:23, together and out loud. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you, that is, make you whole entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then 3 John 2, together. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. Okay, let's say it together. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. Together again. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. Okay, now, you ready? I am a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body. You ready? Again? I am a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body. What are you? What do you have? What do you live in? All right, you guys are quick. All right, good. Now, we're going to be talking about the spirit tonight. It occurred to me after last week and how you kind of looked at me like, what are you talking about? It occurred to me that the big white elephant in the room of the church is, while we say, we're talking about being born again, nobody ever talks about what it means to be born again. What does it actually mean to have a born again spirit? What is born again? What's born again is your spirit. Okay? And so we're going to be talking tonight about the spirit, about what the spirit is, and how God has restored value to us by regenerating your spirit. If you are born again, if you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, what happened was that the Holy Spirit came and did what Titus 3 says, he regenerated your spirit. Everybody say, regenerate. He regenerated your spirit. Now, there's tremendous benefit to that, which I think, I don't know, maybe most Christians don't even understand the benefit that has come from having a regenerated spirit. But I'm going to tell you right now where we're going to go, and then I'll tell you how we're going to get there, then we'll get there. But the benefit of having a regenerated spirit is that it's put you back into communication and the ability to communicate and fellowship with God, who is spirit. Before your spirit is regenerated, you cannot do that. All right. So, first of all, in Genesis chapter 2:7, together and aloud, then the Lord God formed a man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Okay. Spirit is breathed into each individual being at conception. That's something God does. Okay. God breathes into each individual being at when they are conceived the breath that makes them a living being. In fact, the word living is the word spirit. Life is spirit. In fact, when the spirit leaves, what leaves? Life. Okay? So let's read together Psalm 139:13. Jen actually quoted this in our praise time together. For you formed my inward parts, you wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay, so that certainly has implications, doesn't it, for abortionists who are taking life. They are killing a spirit. Now that spirit, when it's aborted, that spirit, because once God conceives that and breathes that into a being, that spirit's going to go to heaven, okay? And there it'll be nourished. But nevertheless, God is the one who breathes spirit in to each individual being. Now, let's read together Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the innermost parts of his being. Now, when Adam fell, what fell and what died was his spirit. His capacity to communicate and have fellowship with God was broken. So what died was his spirit. So the human spirit, born in sin, does not have the ability to communicate and talk with God or hear God or understand God. But this scripture says that the spirit, every human being has a spirit. The humans, everybody say human spirit. Okay. The human spirit, every human being has it, whether they're born again or before they're born again. Everybody's got a human spirit. And that's why people who are not even born again will talk about they are being spiritual, right? They know they have a spirit, right? What they don't understand is that the Bible says that that spirit cannot hear God. God can look down and see every person. And the way that God looks at each individual is through their spirit. That is the link, because God is spirit. He looks at every individual, and he knows you by your spirit, whether you're born again or not. That is the connection that he sees and knows and understands. That's the link to God. That's the connection to God. Now, it is the spirit is that, it's that mysterious, intangible, invisible part, that element of being that we call life. It's an amazing thing, you know. I mean, I read everything I can get my hands on as far as scientific journals and things that are coming out. I was trained in sciences and biology and pre-med, and the thing that science have not yet been able to say what it is this thing called life. What is it? Well, the Bible says it is the Spirit. It is the Spirit that God puts in there, and it's what quickens the entire being. The Spirit is what quickens your soul, it's what quickens your body. Quicken means it makes it alive. And when that Spirit's withdrawn, in fact, I think I have some scriptures here, don't I? Oops, I blanked it. Let's read together this Numbers 16:22. The Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh. I'm just showing you scriptures in the Old Testament that says that God is the God who made all human spirits, right? All human spirits are made by God. God breathed them into every individual at what time? At conception. When they were formed in their mother's womb, God breathed into them the breath of life. All in whose nostrils was the breath of spirit of life, the spirit of life, died. Who knows what happened in Genesis 7? The flood, right, the flood. So this is talking about every human being that was on the earth had the breath of the spirit of life, and they died. Except for, of course, Noah and his family. Again, I'm just pointing out the fact that the spirit is often also called the spirit of life. And we're going to see when we get to Romans chapter 8 that Paul talks about the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Okay? But the spirit of life is the fact that when God breathes his spirit into someone, they have life. When he withdraws that, they die. That's the definition of death. And then, of course, let's together and aloud read Psalm 104:29. You hide your face, they are dismayed. You take away their spirit, they expire and return to their dust. Okay. So the human spirit, every human being has a human spirit, and it is what allows them to be alive. And when they die, that spirit is taken away. If that spirit has not been reborn, which we're going to get into next, that spirit, along with the soul, goes to a place called hell, a place of torment. If it has been regenerated by the eternal sperm of God, word of God, then it's eternal and it goes to heaven to be with him. Now, the unregenerate spirit. Let's read together Titus 3:5. This is where I'm getting that word regenerated, unregenerate. Okay? Let's read together Titus 3:5. He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Okay. So what we're talking about here is a regeneration. Remember, a couple weeks ago I talked about, you know, when I was a kid and I didn't know any better, we used to catch the salamanders and break their tails off to see if they would grow them back again, right? You break a worm in half, and what does it do? It grows back, okay? It regenerates itself. So to regenerate something is to actually make it like it was before, to grow back again the way that it was. Now, the unregenerate spirit is, when did the human spirit become unregenerated? At the fall, right? At the fall with Adam and Eve sinning. And so it became unregenerate, and it lost its capacity to fellowship and talk with God and hear God and understand God. And so God wants to regenerate the spirit and bring us back to that pre-fallen state where we can hear God, understand God, fellowship with God, be friends with God. That's what it means to have a regenerated spirit, to be regenerated back to the state that Adam had before he fell. Okay. So, now, in Matthew chapter 18, we're not going to go all this. I'm just trying to throw this information out there so we have a foundation of understanding. People will say, well, what about kids? I mean, if we're all born with this human spirit that's fallen from Adam's fall and we can't communicate with God and hear God, then what about children? Well, again, in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus said that children are in the kingdom of God, that they are covered by special grace. And even though they have an unregenerated spirit, they do not become responsible for that until their conscience becomes aware that they are sinners. And they can either accept or reject Jesus Christ as their Savior. Right? But that doesn't mean that a child's spirit is regenerated. It's not. It's still unregenerated. And anybody that's got a toddler knows exactly how unregenerate a toddler is. Am I right? I mean, it's selfishness on steroids. Right? But God's grace covers that because they haven't yet come to that place where in his mind and when God's understanding that child understands that they need us, that they are sinners, that they are doing things that hurt others, and they're truly sorry and remorseful for it. And then they can repent. They can ask Jesus Christ to be their Savior and their Lord. Okay. So, So going back to Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. What that's saying is that God has got a one-way window. Yeah, like that window back there, it goes back into the, used to be the infant room, now it's a toddler room, but it's one way, right? If you were standing in there, you could see out here, but you're standing here, you can't see in, right? So God's got a one-way window. He can see into your spirit, but until you're regenerated in your spirit, you can't see back into him. It's one way. He can search. He knows. And that's why the Psalms always say, I know the spirit of man and I know how wicked he is. Right? The ways of man, right? We've saw that the ways of man, well, although he thinks that they're good, the ways of man end up in what? Death. Okay. We just did that. Now, we want to talk, and the reason I'm building all this foundation is because to really get the benefit of a regenerated spirit, you have to understand this stuff. And I think the reason that people don't, that Christians don't really take advantage of their born-again spirit is they don't understand what they've got in having a regenerated spirit. But the unregenerated spirit communicates with and is controlled by its human mind. Let's read together 1 Corinthians 2:11a. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Okay. So now we're seeing that, okay, you've got a mind, right? You are what? A spirit. You have what? A soul. And you live in a body. All right. The soul is made up, and this is actually next week's message, what the soul is made up of. But the soul is made up of the mind, the intellect, the heart, and the emotions, right? And so, and part of that is the conscience. But what we're talking about here is that the spirit of man actually, while it is the essence of man, it can communicate to your mind, and your mind can communicate to it. Because it says this verse here says that your spirit understands and knows what your thoughts are. Your thoughts are in your mind, but your spirit understands your thoughts. Okay, that's important. It's important for where we're going with this, because it is the key to successful Christian living. If you understand what your spirit can and can't do. So the unregenerate spirit is controlled by the thoughts of the human mind, whose default filter is the flesh. Now, okay, we're building some more terms here. We're getting into Romans chapter 8 and Galatians 5 in a minute that talks about these terms more. But let's read together Colossians 2:18. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. Everybody say fleshly mind. Now that would be contrasted to what other kind of mind would there be? A spiritual mind. Okay? There's a spiritual mind and there's a fleshly mind. Now, the unregenerated person, their spirit is controlled by their mind, and their mind is controlled by what? By their flesh. Okay? So the fleshly mind now is controlling the person's spirit, and so their choices and decisions and plans will be toward the goals of which part of their being? The flesh. Your spirit understands your thoughts of your mind, and so whatever you're thinking, that's what your spirit is going to be understanding and implementing into your life. Let's read together Ephesians 2:3. Among them too, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. That Paul is describing the ungenerated person. The person not born again, whose spirit is being controlled by a mind that is controlled by the flesh. And so the mind's desires are coming from its flesh. And so its goals, its interests, the way it's going to spend its time, the way it's going to plan its day, the way it's going to plan its life, is determined by the desires of what? The flesh. Reversing that is the key to a successful Christian life. Okay? And that is why Jesus Christ came, to reverse the inevitable fact that every human being is controlled by their flesh, and that their spirit obeys their mind to obey the desires of the flesh. So that's why God, first of all, wants us to teach us to profit by causing us to be spiritually reborn. We already read that. Now, this is where I talked about this last week. Now, the human spirit, which is unregenerated, right, How's it going to get regenerated? How's it going to get regenerated? Right? Somehow that human spirit that's under subjection to a fleshly mind has somehow got to get control back over this person's life that's out of control and sinning and ruining its life. Right? Following man's ways instead of God's ways. Let's read together 1 Peter 1:23. For you've been born again, not of seed, sperm, which is perishable, but imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. I showed you last week where Jesus talked in John 6:3, my words are spirit and they are life. Remember that? My words are spirit and they are life. Everybody say, Jesus' words are spirit and they are life. Jesus' words are spirit and they are life. Spirit is life. Spirit is God's word. Right? Nobody can get saved. Nobody's spirit can be regenerated unless they hear the gospel that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins and that he wants to come and save them. And by faith, united with that, they invite him into their heart. And lo and behold, that eternal, abiding, imperishable word of God comes into their human spirit as the divine sperm of God, imperishable sperm, and unites with that egg of the human spirit. And lo and behold, we have what the Bible calls a brand new species. Something that was never, ever created before, a brand new creation. Here we go. Let's read it together. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. See, and this is the remarkable thing, that the world, up until before Jesus came, nobody had ever experienced somebody who actually had the human spirit combined with the divine seed and had become a born-again divine creature like Jesus Christ. The only other person before that was who? Who? What does Paul say in Romans 4? Who? Adam! Right? Jesus Christ is the who? The second Adam. Right? Adam walked with God, talked with God, right? Had fellowship with God. He disobeyed God's ways and lost all that. Death, the spiral of death. God has promised, I will restore. I will bring man back to this. And so when Jesus Christ came, he is the firstborn of many brethren. The firstborn of many brethren. So if you want to know what kind of being you are the exact same kind of being that Jesus Christ was. If you have been born again and God's seed has been implanted into your human spirit, you are a brand new creation. And this is why, I mean, it's so bizarre to me, because entire religious traditions have just written it off as though it isn't even a thing. Well, you're a Christian if you sign this document that you believe Jesus rose from the dead. Or you're a Christian if you go through catechism and agree with these statements. There's no more hogwash. That isn't what the Bible says. The Bible says if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The Bible says that if you've been born again, you've been born again by the imperishable word of God, seed of God. That is a miraculous thing. And it's restored you back to what Adam lost in the fall. And so, as I said last week, if you're born of spirit, just like everyone in this room is born of flesh. I know you are. I can see you. And as a result of that, I know what you like to eat. You like to eat food. And maybe some of you push it by wanting vegetables and not meat. But I can tell you, because you are made of protein, you want protein. Right? If you are spirit, I can guarantee you want spirit. You want the Word of God because that's what feeds your spirit. If you're born again, you hunger for God's Word, you want God's Word, and that's why 1 Peter goes on to say together and aloud, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Right? Somebody says they're born again, they don't have any interest in God's Word. You're crazy, man. You're not born again. So, you know, or else you're really sick, because a baby that doesn't want to drink milk is not a healthy baby. So the very first proof that somebody's born again is, I love God's Word. I want to eat God's Word. I want to drink God's Word. I want to read God's Word. I want to sing God's Word. I want to talk about God's Word. I love God's Word. I love God's ways. If you don't, you're not born again. You're not alive spiritually. You're what 1 Corinthians 2 calls a psukios man, a natural man, a person unregenerated in spirit. And so you can only appraise natural soul things. You can't appraise spiritual things. Okay, so the human spirit plus the divine sperm equals a new creation. Another word for that is regenerated spirit. Another word for that or phrase for that is a born-again spirit. Now, having a regenerated spirit is the only way that a relationship with God can be had. That's the point of Romans chapter 8. If you don't have the Spirit of God, then you're none of His. If your spirit's not reborn, then you're none of His. And your flesh is actually in hostility with God. But when your spirit's regenerated, it now makes possible a two-way communication where we can both hear and speak with God and enjoy fellowship with Him. Now you think about that for a minute. I mean, you know, a couple weeks ago I got really excited about the potential that we have as born-again Christians and how amazing it is, right? And you're like, Rick, what are y'all excited about? This is what I'm excited about. Do you understand what you've got here? Do you understand? See, well, I don't really experience that. Well, why not? It's what you've been given. It's your birthright. You're an heir of God. This is what Jesus died for. This is what He rose for. This is what it's all about, to restore you back to fellowship with God, where you can hear Him and talk with Him, and He can talk to you, and your whole life can be led by Him. Now, if that's not good news, I don't know what is. It's like I never get tired of saying, when I was 19, I met Jesus. I thought, there's no better way I can spend my life than getting to know this God. If He really is, I can't think of anything I can do better with my life than getting to know Him. And it was a good decision. It was a good decision. So the regenerated spirit restores communication with God. Okay, let's read some of this from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, I just want to say that I mentioned it last week. I'm just going to mention it again. At staff meeting this past Monday morning, we made a decision that I'm going to do a seminar on spiritual language, the language of the spirit, and how that relates to the mind and all that. We're going to do that on a Monday night, two Monday nights, May 8th and 10th, I think it was. Something like that, like the first two Mondays in May or second and third Monday in May. But I'm just going to come and I'm going to be talking about 1 Corinthians 2, Romans 8, and I'm going to be talking about spiritual language and how that all is a part of this thing of the Spirit being reborn and the amazing benefit that it brings to us. Now, let's read together from 1 Corinthians 2 here. Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Well, then, only God knows His thoughts. Right? Is that what it says? Well, let's read on. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Now, wait a minute. Do you understand what he's saying here? God's Spirit knows God's thoughts, and only God knows those thoughts, and His Spirit knows those thoughts. But now we who have received the Spirit, now we know these things that God has freely given to us, because we have received this exact same Spirit that knows the thoughts of God. I just want to let that sink in a little bit. This is pretty serious stuff. Because when you spend time with God, and you keep a journal, and you're open before Him, the thoughts that the Spirit of God has in God's mind, you have access to through your born-again spirit. If I have to explain to you what benefit that is, I don't know how much more I can help. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, if any two of you agree in prayer, what you may ask, it shall be done for you by the Father who is in heaven." What we have available to us is really unbelievable, which I guess is why most Christians say, "Ah, that's unbelievable, forget it." But I'm standing up here telling you, I have done my best. No, I haven't done my best. I don't know, maybe I gave it 50% of my best, I don't know. But I have lived my life trying to understand this and apply this. And I'm telling you, I'm really glad I did. Because it came out good. And I'm not done yet. And so, you know, the question is, you know, how much can I really believe that God, that this stuff is even true? I mean, I struggle and I strive and I beat myself up and I'm barely making it and I'm drowning in my debt and I'm doing all this stuff. I don't know, how can this be if this is true? How can I be a born-again Christian and have such a miserable, lousy life? I've been in the ministry, almost 40 years now? I've heard every whiner possible. And I want to reach across the desk and I'm going to grab all of them and I want to shake it in my head and say, "Don't you understand what God has given to you? Get a grip, man. Woman. Begin to understand what God has given to you and begin to use it instead of blaming everybody else and all your situations and all your problems. Begin to use the tools God's given to you in your regenerated spirit. It is the means by which He's given to you to have an abundant life beyond what you could ask, think, or imagine, according to the power of God that works within you. The same power that raised Christ up from the dead dwells in you. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. As I mentioned last week, and I'm going to be talking about spiritual language on those two Monday nights, because the deeper level to this verse is talking about spiritual language and speaking in spiritual language and writing down the interpretation and getting God's thoughts. But you don't have to speak in spiritual language to implement this, because as you're talking to God and you're praying in your known language, which is, for most of you, I think it's probably English. Some of you might know Spanish. I don't know. Anybody here know Spanish? You guys know. Okay. You know? So maybe that's your language. I don't know what, but God knows all those languages, and you're speaking to Him in your known language. Well, we already saw that your spirit understands those languages. So you can be talking to God about His word and praying and talking to Him, and as you're praying and talking to Him, writing down the thoughts in your known language, and you can still be receiving thoughts from God. Now, being led by the regenerated spirit. Romans 8 is the key. Jen was reminding me that when she took the discipleship class, I required everybody that took the discipleship class to memorize Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What the law could not do, because it wasn't. Did you have to memorize Romans 8, Glenn? No, you missed that class? All right. Now you just got to memorize the books of the Bible, right? 66 books. You guys got it easy, I'm telling you, Carla. There's a song that goes with the books, but Jenny got to write a song for Romans 8. You you've heard me say over and over again, I believe Romans 8 is the key to understanding the entire Bible, understanding the gospel, understanding everything. But it most certainly is the key to understanding the relationship between your spirit, the Holy Spirit, your mind, and your body. All right. Let's read together Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4 here. You ready? Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free. Stop. Where did you hear that phrase, the Spirit of life, before? You remember that? The law of the Spirit of life? Remember back in the Old Testament, where the Spirit of life was taken from everybody who drowned in the flood? The Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ brought back what was lost through Adam. He restored back the law of the Spirit of life. That is the regenerated spirit that every human being can have once again by faith. Okay, let's read on. He has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Let's just break down some of these phrases here. The requirement of the law was to know God's ways and live by them. Right? Know God's ways and live by them. Sounds simple enough. The problem is, with an unregenerated spirit, nobody could do it. Right? You try and fail, try and fail, try and fail. It just couldn't do it. Not possible. The law of the Spirit of life, I've been talking about God's ways always create this thermal lift of life. Remember? The life lift. We talk about the life lift that God's ways always bring. Dozens of scriptures. Whenever you read about God's ways, it always leads us to profit. It always leads us to life. It always leads us to get better and better, like the noonday sun getting brighter and brighter. That's the way of the righteous. That's God's way. He always lifts us. That's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of sin and death, if you follow man's ways, the end thereof is death, right? You follow man's ways of being married, it spirals down to divorce, right? You follow man's ways of finances, it spirals down into debt. You follow man's ways of living, and it spirals down into sickness and disease. Man's way seems right to everybody, but the end thereof is that's the law of sin and death. Being born again allows your spirit to control your mind, which controls your flesh, so you can live God's ways. Now, let's talk about that a little bit. Why do I say that? Well, now we go to verses 5. Let's read this together. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Now, you just got a clue there. How am I going to keep myself from getting sucked into the death spiral of man's ways? Well, I'm going to set my mind on what? On the Spirit, instead of on the flesh. Right? For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Read on. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. What this is saying is that unless you, through your mind is your conscious thought tool of your soul. Unless you use your conscious tool to set your mind on the Spirit, you will default, you go to the default setting of the flesh. That flesh cannot obey, it cannot even understand God's ways. It's even argues against God's ways. It's even hostile to God's ways. It says it's stupid. That's foolishness. It's, why would I give God 10% of my income? That's crazy. That's ridiculous. That's stupid. The mindset in the flesh cannot understand the things of God. It's even hostile to them. Every part of God's ways requires faith. It requires the capacity of the Spirit, because the Spirit is full of faith, and the Spirit says, yes, that's God's way. That's going to bring back the reward. You won't even believe it. And the flesh says, oh, that's stupid. That won't work. That's crazy. The flesh cannot please God. So, here's the point. I spent the last 40 minutes getting to this point. You see the thermostat? You've got a thermostat. Every one of you has got a thermostat. And you're either going to set your thermostat on the Spirit or you're going to set it on the flesh. Every day. And you choose how your life is going to go by what you choose every day to set your mind on. Let's do a little bit of the default filter is set on the flesh, okay? I don't know about you guys. You got probably, most of you got IBM computers, so you only get to use the Explorer, right? I got a Mac, so I can use Explorer, Safari, Firefox. I got all kinds of browsers I can use, right? You have got two browsers that God has given to you. One is called the flesh and one's called the Spirit, and you choose which one you're going to use. Now, most of you use Microsoft, so you probably don't realize it or not, but if you don't do anything, it'll revert back to Explorer every time. Did you know that? And you know something? Your browser, when you go to bed at night, it resets back to the flesh. Do you ever notice you have weird dreams at night? And you wake up, how can I, a born-again person, have a dream like that? Am I the only one who ever had that? No. No. It's the fallen nature reverts back to the default browser of the flesh every night. Now, because that's the default. That's the fallen nature of mankind. And again, the people that reject all this, they're like, well, I'm okay, you're okay, people are all good in nature, and I don't believe any of this garbage, we're all really wonderful things. And the Christians are like, no, people are basically bad. They do stupid stuff. The best of them hurt each other. They hurt the people that they say that they love. They do stupid things. We're all sinners, and we all need a Savior. And God loves us and gave us His Son. And He wants to work with us throughout our life to make our life better and to help us overcome the consequences of our stupidity and our sinfulness. That's the Christian position. Right? Are you with me? You're awful quiet out there. Are you deep in thought, or am I boring you to death? Okay, so the mind is the conscious thought producer of the soul. Next week we're going to be talking about the soul more in depth. But the mind sets either the flesh or the Spirit as the filter by which it will use its abilities to process information and make things happen. Okay, so if you're in the morning and you have your devotions, and I'm going to be saying this, so I might as well just say it now. I believe the way to set your mind on the Spirit, you get up in the morning, you read your proverb of the day, you get out your journal, you write down the thoughts that God's given to you, you pray, you say, God, today I'm setting my mind on the Spirit, I'm going to live for you today, I want to live your way. That I've set my mind on the Spirit. I have reversed the course that happened overnight where my default browser went back to the flesh. And I made up my mind, today I'm going to live by the Spirit. And I'm good for the day. Well, things come up during the day. You betcha. What am I going to do? I'm going to say, oh, I already decided to live by the Spirit. I'm not living by the flesh anymore. I'm living by the Spirit. I've already made that decision. So, So, when you're going through your day, and when you're writing down in your journal, you're writing down your goals, the things that you want to happen, and you did all this while you're in the presence of God because you've been reading the Proverbs, you've been praying the Proverbs. As you read a proverb, Lord, I want to be that way. Help me to do that. Help me not do this. You know, and you're communicating with God as you're reading the Proverbs, setting your mind on the Spirit, on spiritual things, and you're writing down thoughts about things you want to accomplish, things that you'd like to get done. It might be for that day, it might be for that week, it might be for the 5 years, it might be for your life. Who knows what the goals are you're writing down? But what you're doing, you're setting your mind on the Spirit, and now your Spirit is going to make your mind look for things that's going to make that come to pass. Because now your Spirit's controlling your mind and it's going to use your mind as a tool to plan its way to accomplish the things that you want to accomplish that you got in the Spirit while you were in God's presence. You spoke the things freely given to you by God. See, I get excited about that. I don't know why you're not standing up on your seats and shouting. Okay, these words here, these words, according to, in, set on, they all mean under the control of. When you're according to the flesh, then that means you're under the control of the flesh. If your mind's set on the flesh, it means you're under the control of the flesh. If you're in the flesh, it means you're under the control of the flesh. You understand that? It's all the same concept. He's just using that same concept. Okay. So once you set your mind, that is going to determine whether you are going to live your life in a thermal lift or a downward spiral. And when I see somebody in a downward death spiral, I know for a fact that they have not been setting their mind on the Spirit on a regular basis. I know that. As sure as I know that my name is Rick Collins and I'm born again, I know they have not been setting their mind on the Spirit or they would not be in a death spiral. It's as simple as that. Amen. I can't say it any plainer. Our time is up. Okay. We'll talk about this stuff next week. It's all about more about the Spirit and the mind. Okay, so while sleeping, your mind naturally reverts to the default setting of the flesh. That's the result of the fallen sin nature. And so you have to consciously, daily choose to set its directive as either the Spirit or the flesh. And you may have multiple times a day, depending on your spiritual maturity and knowledge of God's Word. Again, God's Word is Spirit. The more of God's Word this is why I said memorize Romans chapter 8. Memorize Scripture. The more of God's Word you have in your spirit, the more Spirit you have. The more Spirit you have, the more your mind is able to be directed on your spirit. When you're illiterate to the Scriptures, you don't have the Spirit of God working in you to help you overcome the things of the flesh. That's why memorizing Scripture is so important, because Scripture is Spirit, and Spirit is life. And you set your mind initially on the Spirit by reading the Bible, praying, and journaling. During the day, it will take the form of prayer, quoting Scripture, singing a hymn, constantly setting your mind on the things of the Spirit. People will say, well, am I setting my mind on the Spirit if I'm driving to work and I'm listening to Christian radio? I don't know, is it? It's better than nothing, okay? Does it take the place of spending time in God's Word, opening it up, reading it? No. You're not memorizing Scripture. You're not interacting with Scripture by listening to Christian music. Is it better than listening to 99.9? I don't know, is it, Nancy? She always gives me a hard time because I'm always listening to hard rock. All right, we'll get into this next week. It's the same thing. Paul talks about crucifying your flesh so your spirit can lead. When you do this, when you set your mind on the Spirit, you are crucifying your flesh. You're saying, flesh, you're not going to rule me today. My spirit's going to rule me. It's just another phrase to say the exact same thing. You cannot be led by the Spirit if you have not put your default setting on it, because your flesh will take over. And as Paul says in Galatians 5, the Spirit and the flesh are at war with each other. All right. So how do you set your mind on the Spirit? First of all, you got to make a quality decision. This is how I want to live my life. You got to make Jesus Christ your Lord. That's the first step. There's a quality decision you make. This is how I want to live my life. I want to have a regenerated spirit. I want to be born again. Jesus, come into my heart. Cause my human spirit to be regenerated. I want to be born again. That's the first step. Once you make that decision, your spirit, your born-again spirit, will hunger after God's word. It'll want God's word. And that's why I say in the morning, you get up, you read your proverb of the day. You say, well, can I read something else? As long as it's the Bible, yes. But I'm pretty hard on the Proverbs. I'm telling you, everything you, I don't care if you're reading what Jesus read, what Jesus said, what Paul said, what Peter said, what David said in the song, it all goes back to the Proverbs. You do your cross references, sooner or later you're going to get back to a proverb. It all goes back to God's wisdom, to God's ways. So you read your proverb of the day, you pray in your journal, and then you set your mind on the Spirit. Let's read these scriptures as we're closing up. In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. But I, O Lord, have cried out to you for help. And in the morning, my prayer comes before you. O satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. To declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night. Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in you. Teach me the way in which I should walk, for to you I lift up my soul. When does he teach you his way? When do you lift up your soul to him? I'll meet you in the morning, Lord, and you'll remind me of your everlasting love. And there you'll teach me of your ways. And there my soul will be lifted up to you. That's how it works. That's how you set your mind on the Spirit. That's how you overcome the flesh. That's how you live in the thermal lift of God's ways. That's how you live the abundant life. You put him first in the morning. And lo and behold, you'll see your life reverse for the better. That's it. If we could just bow our heads for a moment. Is there anyone here tonight who has never made that decision to ask Jesus Christ to come into their heart and cause them to be born again? You know for a fact that your heart has not been regenerated. You know for a fact. You know, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, a religious man. He said, you're a religious person. Don't you know these things? You must be born again. Religion is not the key. Doing good works is not the key. Asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart, giving him your life, that's the key to being born again. If you've never done that and you'd like to do it tonight, if you look up at me, let our eyes meet, wave at me, I just want to agree together with you that tonight's the night. You're giving your life to Jesus Christ and you're making that decision to be born again, to have your spirit regenerated. That's the desire of your heart. Look up at me, wave at me so I can see you looking at me for that reason. Anyone here tonight making that decision? Okay. Would you please pray this prayer with me together and out loud? Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for causing my spirit to be reborn. Now that I'm regenerated, I can walk and talk with you. And you can show me the way I should live. And you can lead me into the abundant life. Help me, Holy Spirit, take full advantage of this tremendous benefit that God has given to me by redeeming my spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen.